Church, that leads us all the way up to our fifth objective, our objective for today. Jesus can address our addictions. Jesus can address our addictions. The subtitle for today's message is, There is Freedom. There is freedom. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Jesus can address our addictions. Jesus can address our addictions. That word addiction means to be given over to something or someone, despite the damage it causes. To be given over to something or someone despite the damage it causes. Addiction means to be controlled by and dependent on something that is harmful, with no ability to break free. It means to be controlled by and dependent on something that is harmful, with no ability to break free. Now, we must know and understand that there are all kinds of addictions, because we think of addiction only as drugs and alcohol. But there are a lot of things in our life that control us, that we are dependent on, that are not the Word of God. There are a lot of things that we are controlled by, and yet they do harm to us. And we don't have the ability on our own to break free. See, there are all kinds of addictions. People can have sexual addictions. People can have gambling addictions. People can have food addictions. You can be addicted to a lot of things. Some people are addicted to money and material, so they will do anything to make a dollar. Some people are addicted to gossip and backbiting. They just can't help but engage themselves in slander of other people. Some people are addicted to social media or technology. Spend hours and hours of your day doing things that are unproductive while your life is crashing all around you. There are all kinds of addictions. People can be addicted to shopping, can be addicted to ungodly relationships. We need to look at the definition and ask, what in our life is controlling us that is harmful? Don't say this objective does not apply to me because I don't drink, smoke, or do drugs. What is controlling me in my life that is not God, His Spirit, or His Word, that is bringing harm into my life? Church, addictions arise because we cannot handle disorder, confusion, or wounds. Addiction arises because we cannot handle disorder, confusion, or wounds. In other words, when my life becomes chaotic because of the choices that I have made, when I am led into the wilderness of life, when I am beaten down by the calamity of life, and I try to handle it on my own, instead of turning to a holy God, I come to understand that I can't handle it. And the weight of that thing begins to bear down on me. So I turn to something to give me comfort. I turn to something to give me peace, and that ends me up in a place of addiction. We seek comfort in things that end up enslaving us, oppressing us, and shattering our lives. But church, we need to understand and know that Jesus can deliver the addicted soul. Amen. But the problem is, we don't really believe that. We don't really believe that Jesus can deliver the addicted soul. Because if we have written anybody off in life, it is that addicted family member. If we have written off anybody in life, it is that person who continues on in that addicted state. See, we don't really believe that Jesus can do anything about addiction. And it is because we have neglected the foundational message of the gospel. And we have determined that what is possible is based on what we see and understand. We don't really believe it. Because we see the addicted. We see the state they are in, and it's bad. We see that they are gripped into something they can't break free of. We see the devastation of that addiction, and we hear their denials and their excuses. We know how long they've been like this. We've read articles, we've Googled, we looked in the newspaper. We have learned that addiction is at an all-time high. We've learned that few people overcome addiction. We've learned now that the new drugs on the street are 100 times more potent than they were before. We have all of this bad news. So we conclude there is no help and there is no hope. So we shake our head, say it's too bad they ended up that way. We don't believe that Jesus can deliver the addicted. Not only because of what we see in others, because of what we permit in ourselves. See, some of us right now still have our own secret addictions. Now, I didn't expect a whole lot of amens. Just look straight ahead. Don't worry about it. A lot of us have our own secret addictions. Right up in the church, we put a lid on them. We deny that they exist, but they're there. See, for many of us, there is something outside the Word of God that is dictating my life. It determines more about my life than any other thing. And whatever that it is, it shapes my actions. It drives my decisions. It keeps me from obeying God. It makes me work against my own self-interest. It causes me to be secretive and manipulative and dishonest. Many of us have our own secret addictions. How, as Christians, do we get here? Perhaps as a Christian, I got caught up doing something I had no business doing. Didn't listen to the Holy Ghost. Got caught up into something or to someone, and now this thing has taken over my life. And while I have told myself it's a habit, it's a hobby, it's not a hobby, it's an addiction. Perhaps I was delivered from addiction when I got saved, but I made a conscious decision to go back to the thing that I was freed from. Why? Because I let my heart become corrupted. I became disappointed because God didn't do what I wanted him to do. I became disappointed because God didn't answer the prayer the way I thought he should answer the prayer. I became discouraged at my Christian walk because I was going through trials and tests and difficulties. And so I made a decision to turn back. Now I'm struggling all over again. So here I am, a Christian. And I look around me, I see addiction in my home, I see addiction in my family. But when I look at my own life, I see addiction as well. So I don't believe God can do anything about it. I think that it is an inevitable part of life. But Jesus can break any addiction. We're going to look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 15 through 21. Here in these scriptures, we find ourselves near the beginning of Jesus's earthly ministry. He had been baptized. He'd gone into the wilderness 40 days, tempted of the devil. And after that temptation, he returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. And his fame began to spread, and he began to teach. Let's start reading at verse 15. It says, "And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" Here, Jesus opens up the scroll and he reads from the book of Isaiah. He reads Isaiah chapter 61, a prophetic passage written by the prophet Isaiah 700 years previously. It is a passage that talks about the coming Messiah, or the Savior of the people. And Jesus reads this passage, and after he finishes reading the text, the Bible says he sits down, because the custom of the synagogue was for the teacher to stand and read the scripture, but then sit down and teach what the scripture meant. What does Jesus teach the people about this scripture? These people understood that this scripture was referencing the Messiah. So Jesus' lesson to them was short and sweet. He said, "This day, is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? This day." In other words, Jesus applies the scripture to himself. He declares, "I am the Messiah. I am the one you have been waiting for. I have been appointed to this office by the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. I have been sent to do a specific work in the earth. I have been sent to those who are lowly. I have been sent to those who are despondent. I have been sent to those who are saddened at the condition and the state of their life." Notice he didn't say, "I was sent to the prideful. I wasn't sent to the self-will. I wasn't sent to the self-sustaining, but those who are saddened about the condition of their life. And I was sent to bring good news of God's graciousness, that there is freedom from bondage and there's freedom from brokenness." Jesus boldly proclaims this graciousness would come through him. In other words, he let them know, "I'm going to heal the brokenhearted. Me and nobody else. Those who are suffering from extreme sorrow. I'm going to declare freedom to those who are bound to sin. I'm going to do it. Nobody else. I'm going to give spiritual sight to those who are blind. And I'm going to free those who are imprisoned, oppressed, and shattered by sin. I'm going to do it. Nobody else." In other words, he goes on to say, "I have brought the acceptable year of the Lord." What is this acceptable year of the Lord? Well, that term, acceptable year of the Lord, referenced an Old Testament time called Jubilee. Every 50 years, there was a time declared called Jubilee. It was a time of liberty. That means every slave in the land had to be freed. All debts had to be canceled. Every